Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come together today. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may just minister to each person here today. Lord, that we may hear from you. And Lord, that you may touch our heart and, Lord, our mind, our soul. We praise you and thank you, Lord. Because we know, Lord, that as we come to you in spirit and in truth, Lord, we can receive, we can hear from you, and we can get the direction that we need in our life. So we just give this meeting to you, Lord, that you may just open our mind as we offer ourselves, Lord, to hear. Incline our ear to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we continue on the same topic. It has to do with prayer and to understanding some of the things that are involved there. Some of the instruction the Bible gives us. You know, one of the things that sometimes people ask me, you know, well, how do you do that? Is in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. You know, I said, you know, I can be there praying all the time. Well, because, you know, evidently if the Bible says that, that means you can do it. Because the Bible doesn't tell you to do something you cannot do. You have to understand what it's talking about. Okay? Evidently, he's not talking, you are there, you know. It means simply that you are aware of God's presence with you. You are in communion with him. You have a relationship with God. You walk with him. And so you're in, you know, ongoing communication with him. Because he's your source, he's your shepherd, he's everything that you need, and he's the one who's going to provide all your needs. And he's the key for you having been a fulfilling, satisfying life. Praise the Lord. So, going back to James chapter 5 that we have been expanding on, and I'm going to continue again today. Okay, verse 13 says, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalm. So, you know, the idea here is again that we have to be, no matter what's going on, we can be connected with God, okay, in the right attitude, in the right perspective, so that we can connect with him properly, okay? That is very important, okay? The thing is, our circumstances have an effect on us, okay? Because we are involved in it, because we are, you know, the different situation. And our heart is affected by what is going on in us. Our heart, we have to, you know, it's probably the most important thing for us to understand is how our heart functions and how God responds and relate to our heart. Okay. Sometimes people are confused about that. Really, a heart is quite complex, complicated. There are many things in there. There are our thoughts. Okay, so our logic, our reasoning, and so on. Our emotions are there in too. And our will is in it. And when God says, you know, you have to love me with all your heart, means, you know, that all those things there had to be actually connected, related, you know, have a relationship with him at all those different levels. In your thoughts, so in your reasoning, so that you think the proper thought, that you connect with him in the proper way, okay? Your emotion, that means, you know, your attitude, your position, your things that you have to be properly connected with God, not in, you know, sometimes we pray, but our heart is somewhere else. See, God doesn't look at the physical. He looks at the heart, and we have to understand what that means, okay? So he goes beyond that. The physical is not really the key thing, the key interest of God. And that shouldn't be the same. It should be the same for us. Our most important thing, our most important part is, you know, our heart. Because our heart is really reflect or manifest our personality, our identity. And our heart, you know, all those different things, our thoughts, our emotions, and our will. You see, what we want, what we desire, what we, you know, are motivated to do or not. Okay, all those things is where that relationship with God has to be manifested, not just in one. You know, you can be there thinking about all the right thing, but, you know, your emotions are completely another, you know, another place, because what's going on around you is affecting you. Okay? God wants you to be in there with him in all the different aspects, so that you can be connected with him and not distracted by all the physical things around you, to separate you, your attention, your will, your things from him. Our relationship with him is in spirit and in truth. Okay, so all these things have to be affected, okay, in the right way. Because this is really what it says in, you know, in John chapter 4, verse 24. It says that God is a spirit, and those who worship him, okay, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, the word worshiping there is proskuneo, which actually, you know, the taking down is a composed sentence, you know, directed to, you know, in a way of kissing. You know, that what part of the word is, means kissing. Or, you know, like looking at, for example, the way a dog does, you know, licking the hand of the owner. Okay? It's the fact that he, you know, the attitude has to be an attitude, the attitude we have toward him, that he's, you know, realizing that he is much bigger than we are. He's much more powerful than we are. And he is good to us because he loves us. And so we have to have the right attitude toward him and relate to him in the right way, with respect. Okay? And that respect, okay, the manifestation of that respect is going to be actually the love that we have for him. Now, you know, the implication there, there is a reverence, an adoration, a prostration before him. Okay, so that involves that. Now, in there is a sentence that is repeated many times in the scripture. Okay, and it shows when God really connects with us. Okay, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when? When you search me with all your heart." See, with all your heart means, you know, all those things that I've described before are really the way the connection has to take place, not just one, not just because you think right, you know, and the feeling you're completely, no. You know, all the different aspects, especially your will, is important. Because that is, you know, what actually both motivation, you know, emotions and will are really important for you, because the motivation produces what you actually want. Your will, your desire, your lust, your pleasures, whatever. Okay, where is that? Where is directed? You know, that sentence, exactly, with all your heart, is repeated 21 times in the Bible. When something is repeated very often, when you repeat something very often, that means you give importance to it. Okay? That, because why? Because you are thinking about it. You are, you know, you are connected with that thing. Well, here is God is connected with, you know, showing how to be connected with him, with all our heart. And we have to understand that, you know, that's the way he works. That's the way, you see, when David had to be appointed to follow, you know, to get the kingdom, you know, God wasn't, through the prophet said, you know, I'm not looking at the physical, you know, but I'm looking at the heart. And David didn't look like too good, too strong, or too, he was a little guy and was young and didn't have much experience. So on the physical, didn't look too good, but what he had, actually, his heart was with God. And because his heart was with God, even when he, you know, people, we get distracted. He got distracted, big deal, you know. Yet, God loved him, and he got him through, and he loved him even after. Okay, why? Because he looked at the heart, and he realized, well, you know, he's just not very smart, and he let himself be distracted. Okay, and we can all be distracted. We have to always be careful about our position, about being caught up into things that we shouldn't be caught up in. Okay, so, but God is always there to help us to overcome. But that's to be, we overcome when we go to him with all our heart. There are to be all those things, you know, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we want, the, you know, our will and everything else, and to be all directed toward him. Okay. And when we go after him, it's just after him, not after what that is going to bring to us in terms of blessing from the physical point of view. If we don't understand that, then we are going to be, you know, trying to use God to do the things that we want. And this is often, pretty often, because we are just sometimes fleshy, controlled by our flesh, by our needs. Okay, so, but both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we see this exactly the same pattern and the same explanation given to us, the way things are going to function. Now, unfortunately, there's lots of teaching that is completely wrong in this area, but you have to go not according to what people preach, you have to go according to what the Word says. And for example, in the Old Testament, the typical example they show how this with all your heart means, okay, is for example in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. Okay, well, there he says it very clearly, trust the Lord with all your heart. That means, you know, that all those three parts there, you know, thought, emotions, and will are all directed toward believing and trusting and connecting with God. Praise the Lord. Okay. And lean not in your own understanding. You see, you're dealing already with the mental part. Our understanding, our things, you know, is what we have figured out. And that you can base yourself on that because you don't know everything. And if you try to do that, you are going to put God in a box that fits your own understanding. God is bigger than your understanding. He has some areas that you are not even aware of. So we have to be open to connect with God beyond the things of understanding, beyond even our theology. Although that is important because if we have wrong theology, we are going to get off a tangent, but we are not perfect. We don't know everything. And so we had to understand that, you know, we had to even question our theology. According to what? Because there is only a reference point. Is the word. If we believe something and we find contradiction of what we believe in the word, then we have to question our belief. Hello? So, you know, that makes me unsure. Well, you better be unsure because you cannot be completely sure. Otherwise, you are arrived already and you are not arrived. God is much more than what you are. Okay. So, for example, you know, when God looks at the heart, you know, looks at our heart, what does he see? Well, see, the thing is, we change. Sometimes we caught up in things, and we got more interested in other things than other things. And so what we are going to do is, sometimes our artists waver, go to different directions. We think that we are so caught up, but then or connected, but then something happened and it interfere with our connection, if we like it or not, if we are honest with ourselves. Praise the Lord. And so God looks at us and see when there is something that is off. What is something that is off? Some idols that we may focus on at the particular time because they are attractive, because they are convenient, because it's something we want. And he looks at those things and determines our motives. You see, we cannot know our motives very well. We are going to know our motives when are put to test. And this is what often that God has to do to show us where we are. Because we are caught up in our will, in our desire, in our needs or whatever. And that may not be the thing. That might be actually the things that becomes more important than God. And we try to connect with those things more than we connect with God because there is a contradiction there. Or there is a competition for our heart. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, God deal with that and care more that all those things are directed to him. And that's the way he's going to deal with us. He's going to address us, okay? May continue here. So, you know, lead not on your own understanding. The following verse, in all your ways, in all your ways, in everything that you got, acknowledge him. Now, the word acknowledge doesn't reflect what the Hebrew or the Jewish language expressed. The word is yada. Yada means know. But means, you know, not just know mentally. It's know physically, experimentally, you know, as your experience. That means, you know, that means that you are really connected with him. The word is used, for example, when you know your wife or your husband, in which there is a, you know, a deep connection there. Or you really connected with something that you become one with that. So there is saying, you know, you connect with God in all, acknowledge him in all your ways. So all your ways are connected with him in an essential, in a you know, experiential way. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay, you are completely absorbed in all your things. Your motivation is God. Your strength is God. Your understanding is God. And so you depend on him because in yourself you don't have all those things that are completely there, but he's there providing them for you. He says, you know, and what that happens as we acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. That means he's going to communicate you clearly. He should guide, give you the direction, the guidance, the understanding that you need to deal with that particular moment in your life. Because he's there intervening, in connecting with you, and you are connected with him. That's why I like the word connection there, because it's not a question. You know, you walk with him, you deal with him. People sometimes think that, you know, connecting with God means doing religious stuff. It has nothing to do with that. And we're going to see more about that. Okay, there is a specific thing the Lord, in his word, explained that very clearly. Okay, he, you know, wants our deep attention on him. Our love, our connection, our, you know, what we value, everything could be connected with that, which is not a worldly thing, it's a spiritual thing. Okay. So that's the way you get direction. That's the way you hear God properly. Otherwise, what the others, these other voices speak to you, and you are going to hear their words, not God's word. Interpret them for God. That's why, you know, my sheep know my voices. Okay, that's the way it happens. So only then, as you yada, you experience connection with God, you receive the direction, and you know, your needs or desire shouldn't be the focus. Your physical need and desire should not be your focus, because otherwise they distract you from that. Okay. They can become interference. That what happened with David. He got looking at the wrong thing, and his attention was somewhere else, not on God. Though the Vodak produces a separation. And although he loved God, but at that moment, he was distracted by things that were strong enough for him to not to think about the right thing and to think about the wrong thing. Are you following what I'm saying? And that can happen to everybody. It happened to David. There was someone loving God, that his heart was after God. That means the whole thing. But he got lucky, and part of his heart was obliterated because something was motivating in him strongly to be focused on that. And he may mess it up pretty big. Okay? And God understands that. And God, but he was quick to fix that. Okay. As soon as somebody snapped his attention back to him with the thing that had to be, by telling him the right thing, he just instantaneously got back into place. And God repented. And God changed, went back to the way he should have been, because he was focusing on now on God, not on other things. And, you know, he reconnected with God because he stopped that way, of that position he had before. Praise the Lord. So only then you can get direction. Okay, when you get confused, you end up, or distracted, you get the wrong priorities. And when you got the wrong priorities, you can easily taken away. Okay? So this is really the old explanation. And then when that happens, when you keep that attention, when you realize what's going on, you see, but you have to be aware of what's going on in your heart. And for this reason, I'm going to be doing some practical teaching on that. I'm going to provide some techniques. Like, you know, for example, I even for the men's group and everything else, I'm suggesting for them to, you know, start keeping record of what's going on in your heart. This is generally called journaling. And that is what actually you do, is you actually, you know, spend, when there is something going on inside yourself, you try to write it down. Because when you write it down, you have a record that you can go back to. Both when there are things positive or negative or whatever, you know, you have to deal with all those things that are here talking about your soul. When you're looking at your soul, where your thoughts that you come to your mind, you're talking about emotions that you feel, and the will, what you really want inside you. You see, that does something. Okay, it's not just a question of putting, you don't need to write books about it. You just really, the more concise you are, the better it is. But you have to see what that gives you, a record of what's going on at a certain time. Because spiritual things are easily forgotten. Do you ever have a dream? You wake up, and it's maybe a spiritual dream even, or no, whatever. And if you don't put it down right away, after a while, it's completely gone. You can't remember anything. You cannot benefit from it. You know, my experience, what I did in my past, I have books of stuff I write up, or how the Lord was dealing with me at different time. And the thing is, sometimes it's so interesting. See, you don't do it just for the moment. After a year, after 5 years, after 10 years, you go and you find out stuff that is, my goodness, that's really good. You know, and you get back into that, and you get the Lord to start ministering to you again. Or how can I be so stupid about doing those kind of things? You know, but the point is, this is what helps you to grow and to keep focus. One of the things a journalist does is keep your focus on what's going on inside you, not just the outside. You deal with those areas of the heart. You're not dealing only with the physical. Now, the physical, there could be some information too, because it's affecting your heart, but that's what is important to put there, is how your heart is affected, your thoughts, your emotions, and your will. So for that reason, I'm going to, you know, if you want, I'm going to give you a little exercise, you know, is 6 weeks journaling thing so that you get into the use of doing it if you don't do it already. Okay, with certain topics, one topic per week. You know, having to do just one thing, your relationship with God. See, your connection with His presence. I'm going to write it up. I wrote it up already. Okay, I'm going to make it available so you can download it. Okay, and you can experiment with it. You know, you can do it the way you want. I don't care. The thing is, you have to learn to deal with what's going on inside you, because that's what God is looking at. And He evaluates, judges your position from where you are. And that way determines what He's going to do with you. Because God wants to help you. God wants to guide you. You see, He said here, you know, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. He's wanting there to direct your path. But He's going to direct your path if you know the path you are going on. Otherwise, He can't, because you are thinking about something else. Maybe you know what you're going to eat tomorrow, or what you had to go shopping for, or what you had to clean up the place. That's not important, but that's not what God is looking at. He's looking at the way you relate to Him, given all these other things are going on. Are you following what I'm saying? This is so important. And you know, if you want to move with God, walk with Him, unless you do that, you get used to do that, you can't really do it, because you're too caught up with the things that are going on in the physical. You have to learn to find the time to separate yourself, take a step back, and hear what's going on inside you, in your heart. That's why you have to know your heart, because if you don't know your heart, how are you going to identify what's going on there? Amen. Okay, so He will direct you. Okay. Then goes on say, you know, do not, verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. So you see, don't think you got the answers. Okay. There are two elements that are going to be critical in this process. There comes a fear the Lord. Okay. And depart from evil. So the idea here, those two things, is what is going to be, you know, making you not wise on your own eyes. Oh, I know what to do. No, just the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay. If we don't have the proper fear of the Lord. If you don't understand, you know, Jesus had, you know, Jesus' treasure was the fear of the Lord. I mean, do you think that Jesus was like we are? I mean, he was completely a different level than we are. Okay. And that was actually his treasure. That's what the word says. Should be an indication that it was a good treasure for him, should be a good treasure for us too. Wouldn't you say? So, okay. So, you know, he knows, God knows things before you ask them. No, God knows your needs more than you know yourself. Okay. So, don't worry about the fact that he doesn't realize, and when you give the direction, he gives direction for you, he knows exactly what you need. Much better than you do yourself. If you understand the way God works and what he cares about, he knows what exactly goes on inside you before you even realize it. See, what you're trying to do when you're journaling is actually you try to put down the things that you become aware of that often we are too busy to actually pay any attention to it. Okay. And so we had to learn to give attention to the things that we should give attention, the things that God gives attention. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. He knows your needs. Jesus said it too. You know, the Father knows your needs before you even have them. He knows it before you even was in the place to have those needs, because he's outside times and you are there arriving just there right now. Okay? So don't worry about the fact that you don't know, you need to go to God with a shopping list of things you need, because, you know, he has a bigger shopping list than you do. Okay? So, one more thing. Okay. You cannot convince God with scriptures. Okay? Because you can take scripture to fit what you want. But that doesn't work with God, because he knows before you even think about things. Okay? You may convince yourself with scriptures. Okay? Oh, no, God wants to, you know, make me millionaire. Yeah, sure. You just meditate about that enough, and you're going to believe it. That's the last thing that God cares about. What he cares is your soul. Praise the Lord. See, and God look at the heart means one specific thing. And I don't hear many people saying that. But that is what it is. His judgments are righteous. That means he judges you righteously, right. He knows exactly what's going on, but you don't necessarily do. Okay. God's judgment is a righteous judgment. That's what Jesus said. He said, my judgment is righteous because I judge the same way as the Father does. See, what does it mean that? It means that he knows the things that are really connected with him and the things that are not connected with him, and you have another idols or other things in you. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So he knows exactly. So you cannot, with your scripture, with your word, with other things, try to convince him, because he knows before you open your mouth, before you even think about it. Okay, because he can see your heart better than you can see it yourself. Hallelujah. See, so the two things that really can help us is actually the fear of the Lord is where we can start dealing with your heart. That is where we start to see the heart, the way it's inside. What is really motivating us? What is really our interest? What is our focus? What is our purpose, our motive? Okay, praise the Lord. And the other thing, okay, once we see that, what happens when we have the fear of the Lord operating? Okay, we listen to the direction, the instruction, the correction, or whatever it is, and then as a consequence, what do? We obey what we get or not? See, that's the key part, is the obedience that is critical for us to be able to say, yes, I'm connected. See, lots of people misinterpret that. Says, well, you know, obedience is works. Yeah, it works. Absolutely. What kind of works? Well, it depends on your motivation. And you often don't know your motivation. Let me explain that. Proverbs 21, verse 3 says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. That's a very important scripture. And doesn't show really what it's saying completely. See, the word sacrifice there, what it means is, okay, slaughter of animals. That in Hebrew means. So he cares more about your obedience than the sacrifice you go before the Lord. The religious activity and engagement that you have. He wants your obedience, the fact that you do the things he tells you to do, rather than you go through all these activities that makes you feel righteous, but it's just superficial. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why he said, you know, I care, I want obedience, not sacrifice. Now, but with the problem is sometimes it's distorted, you know, especially today's teaching. Well, you know, that means, you know, you go by works. Yeah. You know, praise the Lord. The works, we have to see, you know, what kind of works they are. There are dead works and good works. What's the difference between them? Very little in the physical. The only difference is in your heart. Are the same thing. When you are obedient to God, okay, why are you obedient to God? What the purpose of your obedience to God? Is because you loved him? Or because you want the benefits? Because you want to be saved? Or because you love the Lord? That put it even on a stronger context. Are you following what I'm trying to say here? Okay. It's not to get point with God that you obey him. You obey him because you love God and you want to serve him and you want to please him without any string attached from your side. And as God is going to be the one judging your action, he is going to determine, yeah, this is a good work created in Christ Jesus in you and that's why you did it. Or this is not a good work because he's trying to get some brownie point with me. He knows exactly that. It doesn't matter how sacrifices or how many bulls you kill. It doesn't touch him at all because he sees throughout the whole thing all the time. So what I'm saying to you, you know, you have to learn to see through yourself. That's what the journalist, you know, can do to you if you are honest with yourself. Only if you are honest with yourself, though. This stuff is not taught these days because they go by, you know, the external, just the same as the Jews did in the past. But, you know, actually here is exactly the same. Yeah, I'm using Old Testament scriptures to talk about things that are actually completely spiritual, that are not physical at all. Praise the Lord. So there was pretty clear and evident even in those days, you know, so that David actually could actually understand what was going on. Praise the Lord. Okay. When you obey God because you love God, because you don't want to displease him, that's what the fear of the Lord is. Then your motivation is right. Praise the Lord. But when you want to manipulate God to get what you want, your motivation is not right and God is not going to please you. He's not going to respond to you because you cannot fool him. Praise the Lord. Okay. Then goes on, for example, you know, verse 8, Proverbs 3, 8, we were mentioning 3, 7 before, you know, he will give you direction, eh? And so, you know, acknowledge him with all your heart, you know, acknowledge him in all your way, and he will give you the direction that you need. Said verse 8, and I will be, and he will be health to your flesh and strength to your bone. You see, that's when it's going to be, when you are really connecting with him in the right way. You don't need to convince him. He's convinced before you say anything. You are not going to manipulate God with anything because he's not manipulatable. He knows everything. You have to recognize when you are playing games. And the only way to do that, you start to see honesty within yourself. And that's what determines that you get blessed or you don't get anything and you get stuck. Praise the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. God's judgment about anything that happens is always exactly true. He's always righteous. He knows everything. You cannot fool him in any way or form. You know, he knows better than you knew what is going on inside you. We tend to be sometimes fooling ourselves because we have some second motives. And we have to learn to recognize the second motives. That sometimes they're not necessarily bad motives, you know, but they become entrances for us to see what God is doing. Because we are too caught up, our physical eyes or our physical needs or our physical things are too strong for us to be able to detect things properly. And so God is not going to respond to us because he knows what's going on. And we think it's not fair because, you know, why didn't you do that? I did what he told me to do. Yes, but why did you do it? He looks at the heart and he knows the heart, so you know why you did it. And you may not be knowing it because you were so caught up with your needs and your desire. Praise the Lord. The New Testament is exactly the same. Now, we should be much better than the Old Testament because, you know, we have Jesus came and showing to all the things. He showed us, you know, about the spiritual thing. We are born again. We are in connection with God. So we should be connected with God. And we should have, you know, an enhanced ability to see in the spiritual dimension. You know, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That means, you know, you cannot see the spiritual things that are not physical because your flesh is strong. Okay, so it's natural. That's the natural thing. The way, you know, we are being with the flesh that we have to deal with. Praise the Lord. So, but in the new covenant, then there is a new way that we can deal with, okay, that explains even better what is connected with, okay? And what it is? It's the new covenant. The new covenant is the way we should judge things. Because that's the way God judges us. Hallelujah. So that determines if you are aligned or not with what Jesus did in our heart determines the way God is going to respond to our prayers. Because he doesn't, is not the noise that we make, is not the things that we say, is not the scripture we quote to him to get convince him to do the things we want him to do. No. He knows exactly what motivates us, and so he responds to us according to our motivation. So, and the thing is, Jesus knows exactly what you were going through because he went through the same thing. You know, in the to understand what the prayer of faith is, that's what I'm getting to. Okay. The prayer of faith is not the prayer that you want to believe something for. Because it's not just what you believe. Christian faith is not just a question of believing something. It's a question of having our heart aligned with something. That means thought, emotions, and will. That makes all the difference. Now, you know, let's see, for example, what it says in Hebrews chapter. Better keep track of the time here. You have too much to finish today, but, you know, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. So he knows exactly what we had to deal with. Okay, why? Because he had to deal with exactly with the same thing that we have dealt with. Okay? So, you know, he not only knows, but he sympathizes with us. So he has compassion for us. Okay? And because of that, you know, he went through what he went through to help us, to give us the ability actually to connect with him, even if there are these other interferences. Okay? He did overcome. Okay? And we can overcome too. Anyway, but, you know, but was in all point tempted as we are yet without sin. So, you know, he overcame all these interferences, including when he was in Gethsemane. There was a major, you know exactly what, you know, he's not, sometimes we don't know what's going to happen next, but he knew exactly what was going to happen, you know. And he established his heart in the position they should have gone, okay? That was a prayer of faith. Okay. So, okay, the thing is you can go to God honestly, really, by really expressing to him what's going on inside you, no matter what it is. If there is temptation, if there is struggle, if there are more negative emotions, positive emotions, you don't have to go around with him and put up a show. Because if you put up a show, you are fooling yourself, you are not fooling him. Okay. He's not convinced. You know, if you get all worked up when you hear somebody say something about, you know, that you are going to get, and then, you know, you not follow through that. Because he knows what's going to happen before you even do it. That's the predetermination things that I don't have time to talk about today. But I did do that. I did that quite a bit in the Thursday night. Okay, so here we go. But he goes according to new covenant requirement. Okay, says, let therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Okay, we have to understand what that means. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, the time of need is when we are put on the spot that is difficult, that are things that we have to resolve within ourselves. There's things that we don't have that we have to address. Whatever it is can be. Okay? And what it says, in that case, you come boldly with, you know, God, you have to give this to me. That's not come boldly. That come, you know, obnoxiously. Okay. You come boldly, he says, Lord, I can do it, but I can trust you, and I come to you because I trust you. I love you. That's the way you approach God. I'm messed up, and I know I'm messed up, but you are so much better than I am, and you know where I am, so I need help. Okay? That's the approach. That's the bold approach. Because you don't need what you deserve. You need is grace. Okay? That means something that you don't deserve that he's willing to give you as you submit yourself to him. Okay? That's the way you break through. If you go around and says, oh, I know everything, I'm fine, you know, thank you for everything, and just thinking that, you know, by you stating something when it's not true is going to work, it's not going to work. Not going to convince him, because the very moment when you start stop thinking and saying it, you are going to think the other stuff. Now, okay, God is going to respond your request according to the covenant that Jesus made. As you connect with Jesus and align yourself up with his position. Okay? So, what do you attain? You attain mercy. That means something that you badly need, that you can, you know. And grace. That means that something that you don't deserve. But what it is that? That is power. Grace is not something that is a second class type of a thing. Or not the real. Grace is the real thing. That's the power of God that is going to be manifested in you. It's his power. The same power that made him come back to life when he was dead. That's the resurrection power that is made available to you as you go in before him honestly with your needs. Recognize that I can't make it by myself, but you can, because you have all power, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. See, it's always a question of salvation here. It's a question of breaking through what we don't have. And the fact that, you know, salvation is not something that happened the day when you were born from I. That's the beginning of knowing and experiencing that power to enable you to do things that are beyond what you can do. Praise the Lord. For the right reason. Because God knows that you know, what motivates you to do it. See, when you really come to, you see, that's what I say, people, you're not just saying it's in this prayer and it's going to work. It's when you really want him more than the other things that you had before. And you're giving them up. Now, you can be tempted and fall back on that. It's fine, you know, exactly that. He was tempted as we are. But he can go back into that because you know, the covenant is, he established the covenant. It cannot be broken. You know, you can mess it up and he can help you to get back into place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? Okay. You cannot go and demand or claim or any of that stuff. It's complete nonsense. You don't claim things with God. God is the one that gives it to you because he wants to give it to you. You cannot manipulate God. He sees why you can fool yourself very well about why you want something. Praise the Lord. So, grace and mercy. We obtain in time of need, in time that we need those things because ourselves we don't have it and they are available to us. but he is the one giving to us. We are not taking them. He is the one making the decision to give you something. Because he judges that you should get it, because you line up with what Jesus did, and so that's what the rule, the process that he established from the beginning of the world, because that has to be a righteous judgment, and he has to make a righteous judgment on you to be able to give you the grace that you ask. So your position, the position of your heart, not your mind. See, you don't get saved through your mind. You get saved through your heart. To the fact that you take that position and you trust God. Believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You are diligently seeking Him through throwing yourself completely in His feet, you know, now acknowledging that you cannot do it, but He can, because He can empower you to overcome, and then He will empower you to overcome. He cannot do anything else, because that is the righteous thing to do. God cannot not do the things that He promised to do. But you have to line up with what the requirements are. Praise the Lord. Now, okay, so we are connecting to God's grace. You know, there is some scripture that really always misunderstood and distorted, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, when Paul deals with God, you know, there says, concerning the things that I pleaded with the Lord three times, that he may depart from me. Okay? Then he said to me. So the idea is, Paul was asking some physical things to God. Okay? And people say, you know, he was sick and he wasn't there. That's absolutely not true. Paul wasn't sick. Okay? And that's not that God said, you know, oh, I'm not going to give you, I'm not going to heal you because you don't need it. No. God doesn't change his mind. Okay? Says, you know, by my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So that what it's saying here is not that I'm not going to give you the things that are asking me. But you come to me in weakness, and my grace is sufficient to fix it. You come to me in the right way, you are going to get it. You come to me in a way I can judge that that's the right thing that I should do for you now, and I will do it. Okay? Fact is, that's what he's saying here, understand, because this is connected to the way God works with us. It's not a denial of giving what Paul was asking. That was simply saying, okay, you come to me the right way and you're going to get it. Don't worry about this stuff. I know what you need and I'm going to give it to you. My grace is sufficient to do what? To provide what you need. Now, therefore, most gladly, because he realized that, he had revelation of this, he didn't take in the negative way, you know, because I most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmity than in the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, I know now I'm not concerned. It's the fact that he boasts in his infirmity doesn't mean, you know, infirmity should be weakness, but it doesn't matter anyway. Okay. But the idea is not that I'm boasting the things that I go through that are difficult to do. Because why? Because, you know, I know that I can get Christ's power on me, and God is going to give it to me when I need it. When I need it. when he judges properly that, yes, that's the time, that's what I need at that time. And he's, you know, even without I need to ask, his grace is there. It's not because I ask him, it's because I trust him and he connected with him and he is there to provide all my needs according to his riches, not according to my thinking. See, that's the way we are saved all the time. What is salvation? The fact that God gives us something that we cannot do ourselves. Okay? We are saved, you know, grace, you know, by grace we have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. God give us the gift that we need to receive. Okay? When we have faith, that means, you know, we believe that he is, and we believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and we are diligently seeking him. And so he knows that, and when he knows that, he's going to give it to us. What we have to care about is not to be there asking and trying to have the faith to get it. We have to make sure that we listen to God, what he tells us to do. Because we cannot fix ourselves, is the gift from God. And he gives the gifts according to his judgment, not according to our judgment. And that's what he uses actually to make us grow. See, that's why, you know, I boast in my infirmity. Because why? Because that way I'm seeking God. And because I seek God, you know, I'm going to seek God even more because I know that's the best way that I can do because he knows what's good for me better than I know myself. Praise the Lord. It's not by your strength, not of works. Works is the idea, is implied that, you know, things we do so that we get the result we want. No, that's not manipulation, okay? But it's, you know, so we cannot boast about it. It's not that we did something to get it. And so you can say, well, Lord, you know, I fasted 3 days. I mean, you should do it. Well, you don't fast to get something from God. I'm sorry, that's Old Testament stuff. You think that you can manipulate God to give you the things you want that he doesn't want to give you? No way. He sees through your motive. You fast because you want to overcome your flesh. And so you can see clearly. So, well, you know, you have power in fasting. So you do something physical to get something spiritual. I call that something else. Maybe the Old Testament, you know, what God said about fasting, you know. I'd rather you give your food to somebody else or do other things rather than go around and try to convince me by your fasting. So that's another story. And I think we are running over time. Okay, so we are saved by grace through faith. True faith is because we are doing everything that we do because we trust God, not because we try to convince God to do something that he doesn't want to do. God cannot change his mind. When, you know, and he acts according to his judgment. So when he thinks that you should get it, he'll give it to you. Just connect with him. Be obedient to him for the right reason, because you are a fear of God. You don't want to separate yourself from God. Love God with all your heart. Before you even ask, he'll do it. He said that. You don't need to ask because he knows before you even ask. Or you can use it to remind yourself, but that doesn't matter. You know, you don't need to remind God the stuff that he knows before you even open your mouth. He knows exactly where you stand. That's why you had to learn to know where you stand. And I think the journaling can help you to do that if you learn to look at yourself and judge yourself the way God judges. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, you see, Paul had this revelation. That wasn't the fact that God didn't give him what he wanted. You know, what actually he was asking is, you know, all the time I go, everywhere I go, the Jews are often my case, and I have a problem all the time, and people get, you know, attacks me all the time. You know, it would be nice if they wouldn't. Well, that didn't change, because that was God's will. Okay? But, you know, in terms of God, you know, Paul was healed 5 times in his ministry. All the time when he had the problem. He couldn't do the things he was doing if he was weak. He was all over the place. He was traveling, all over, starting churches all over the place, having shipwrecks and stuff like that all the time. I mean, he didn't have it easy. And maybe he said, you know, can you make it a bit easier for me? He said, you know, I can't. He couldn't do that. Why? Because he was in the battleground. What do you expect? You are in the battle and you expect that you have peace around? But he was looked after all the time until was the time he said, you know, my job is finished. I can go. And he went. Praise the Lord. Okay. We will finish next week, hopefully. Okay, so what I'm saying to you, trust God's judgment. Trust that God loves you. Try to do everything you can to love him. Because if you don't do it, you know, if you don't connect with him and with your love, you are not going to get the things that you need. Because he's not going to, you're not connected with his grace. But we are connected with his grace. You have more than you need. Because he provides all your needs as you're connected with him. Okay. So you start really connecting with him. Start loving him. Start knowing that he's a rewarder. See, your attitude, the bottom line there, the bottom line for faith, that you believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what do? You diligently seek him. And then he takes care of the things that he knows you need. But there are so many scriptures that you can use to really figure that out or see that that is the case. Because he set his love upon me. Therefore, I will take him on high. I will be with him in trouble. If you call upon me, you will be with him in trouble. He will deliver him and, you know, all these things. With long life, I'll satisfy him and give him my salvation. Not our salvation that we get ourselves because we do not save on our own strength, on our own ability, on what, but by believing in him and connect, because he set his love upon me. That's the key. And that's what he judges. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your love, for your justice, for your patience with us. Help us to look at you, the author and finisher of our faith, to enable us to overcome all the distractions, all the idols, all the ideas, all your our feelings that can separate us from you. Thank you for what you have done and sending Jesus so that we can be conquerors as he was. Loving you, trusting you, and overcoming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.